Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. I want to say hello today. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do count it a great privilege to be able to come this way each and every week at this same time, and we want to take a moment to invite you to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile at Baird's Creek Road. That is 1128 Baird's Creek Road, just a few miles outside of Boone, and our Sunday morning worship service begins at 10 a.m. with Sunday school for all ages, then 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6, and then every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And so lots of opportunities to come out and be with us. We also have our college classes, our college ministry called Collegians for Christ. And Collegians meets every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in the Roan Mountain Room in the Plemons Student Union. So if you are a Appalachian State student, we'd love for you to come out and be with us in those Bible studies. And you may know a student that might not know about it, so we'd like for you to let them know as well. Noah's not here today. We're in that odd time of the year between Christmas and New Year's. A lot of people's schedules are different than they normally are, and people being off, then Noah's got extra things going on at his work, so he was not able to be here today. But we do appreciate all of our listeners right here on WATA, also 690 AM WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And I want to say, I want to take just a moment and say a happy anniversary to my wife. Today, December the 27th, is our 29-year anniversary. And so we're going to go out to eat or something a little bit later on, I hope so, but I want to wish her a happy anniversary today. It doesn't seem possible that we've been married 29 years, and time sure does fly, just like the Bible says. It says your life is as a vapor, and it appears for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And so we better make use of the life we've got while we have it, because I'm telling you, it gets gone quick. Well, this is also the last radio broadcast of 2016. And so we thank the Lord for another year to be able to come this way and bring the blessings of liberty. We have been talking, though, and teaching on the subject of education. And this is part number 6 on the subject of education. You might say, why are these things important? Why take the time? The Bible says in Psalms 11 in verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so what we have is a teaching ministry, and we are teaching from a biblical standpoint about our Christian heritage, our Christian history. And there are many that would like to deny that, that would like to remove that from the public eye. But we need to realize that our foundation in our country, we have a good foundation. The foundation is not gone, but a lot of times the foundation gets covered over with so many other things that we forget about where we come from. And so the Bible encourages us to get back to the old paths of the Word of God. In fact, I've said that verse many, many times over my life, and that is Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. And the Bible says over there, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And the Bible says not to remove the ancient landmarks. There's some things that are worth keeping. And so lots of reasons why we study things like this. But we generally deal with the history of our country in the founding years, talking about the mid to late 1700s, the colonial period. And that is the time period which we find the Declaration of Independence. That is where we find the United States Constitution. That is where we find the American Revolution. And that's where we find the greatest revival that's ever taken place in modern times. And that was a revival that came just before the American Revolution in the 1730s, 1750s. It's called the Great Awakening. And then also there was another revival of church planting that took place shortly after that, that had its birth right here in the state of North Carolina. And so lots of good things in that time period that is foundational to our nation. And so this, what we've been studying about, education, we've called it Foundations in Early American Education. And we've said this several times over the past several weeks, that once upon a time, the home, the church, the school, they all agreed concerning the education of children. Education, early on in our country, was based upon religion, morality, and knowledge. Our founders believed in that. The home, the church, the schools, religion, morality, and knowledge. And when we talk about religion, we're not talking about a denomination, but we're talking about universal Christian principles, universal biblical principles, not just Christian, but we go back in the Old Testament, the same view that the Jewish people had of God, the Christian people had of God. And so we find in the Old Testament that the Lord gave the Ten Commandments. That's where morality comes in. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Talking about lying. And so early on in our country, these things were taught in our school system, that God is real, that He's our creator. It talks about that in the Declaration of Independence, God ought to be worshiped, that we all die. We're going to give an account for what we've done in this life, whether it's good or bad. Universal biblical principles were taught in the schools. And then morality was taught in the schools. We look and think about the Ten Commandments. And we see these lessons, and we've given some examples from McGuffey's Reader, the New England Primer, that they taught moral lessons, things we should and should not do, that there is such a thing as right and wrong. Now think about that in comparison of today. Today, the attitude is out there that there's really nothing that's right and nothing that's wrong. It's all up to the individual. Well, that's as far from the being truth as you can get. But do you know the Bible says that the day would come where there would be those that would call good evil and evil good? And I believe that's the day and time in which we're living in. And so they stressed early on in our country, they stressed a basic religious knowledge, a knowledge of God. They stressed morality, doing good, refraining from evil. And then they stressed knowledge, reading, learning how to write, learning how to do arithmetic. And then they had other lessons as well that tied in with all of that, spelling and history and math and the classical languages. And, you know, education is a endless thing. But once upon a time in our country, education was private and it was local. And what I mean it was private, families took care of it. Communities took care of it. There would be a one-room schoolhouse, or families would come together to educate their children. They would hire a teacher. They would build a schoolhouse, and that schoolhouse many times was also the church house, or the minister would also be the school teacher. And so education was private. Education was local. Every community, every family, every county, they pretty much decided for their own selves how they were going to educate their children. Today, it is much different than that. Today, we could say, for the most part, and I know there are exceptions, but for the most part, education is public and federal. And what I mean by federal, the federal government decides through different avenues what applies for everybody across the board. And you have a lot of controversy in the past few years about the different standards, the different tests, Common Core, and how we're going to teach. And so education has become bureaucracy, and it has become controlled from the top down, where it used to be it was controlled from the bottom, from the homes, from the families, from the communities. And so today, instead of the home, the church, and the school, which now that word school has become state, you have the home, the church, and the state, you do not find as much agreement as you did once upon a time. Last time, we began to look at a man named Noah Webster, and we dealt with the early years of his life. Noah Webster is called the father of American scholarship and education. So if we're studying about the subject of foundations in early American education, it'd be good to look at the one man that is called the founder of that, or the father of that, the father of American scholarship and education. And I think we could title it like this. Last week we looked at his career. And what we mean by that, what is Noah Webster most known for? Well, once upon a time, he was known for his blue-backed speller, his dictionary, spelling book, and readers. And they were in three volumes, volumes 1, 2, and 3. And it is said about Noah Webster that he taught 5 generations of Americans. That blueback speller was in print for over 100 years. They printed over 100 million copies that went all throughout our young country and literally taught America's young people how to read, how to write, along with the lessons that were contained in those books. Noah Webster today, though, is probably known more. If you said the name Webster, I think a majority of people would recognize his name is associated with the dictionary, a Webster's dictionary or a Merriam-Webster dictionary. And so the dictionary that we're talking about, the original Webster's dictionary, was actually called the American Dictionary of the English Language. And it was published in 1828. And a lot of times people will refer to that as a Webster's 1828. They're referring to the first dictionary, the original work that Noah Webster did. And dictionaries today are much smaller, much more concise. There's a Webster student dictionary. There's all kinds of dictionaries out there. But when we're talking about a Webster's 1828, we're talking about that original work. Now, if you can find one of these, and they are available, there is a ministry called Local Church Bible Publishers. It's located in Michigan. And if you just search that on the web, you can find Local Church Bible Publishers. And they sell, I know that is one place you can find a Webster's 1828 dictionary. They cost $55 or $60. It's not a cheap thing, but it's a huge, huge, when you purchase one of those, you're talking about a Bible study tool. And so they are great. In fact, I have two of these. I have one in my office at the church, and I have one at home. And I'll reach for that dictionary 8 times more than I will anything else. I also have a Strong's Concordance. And a Strong's Concordance has a Greek and a Hebrew dictionary in it, as well as all the words in the Bible and where they are found. And I've said to people a lot of times, if I was stranded on a desert island and I could only have 2 books, I would have my Bible and I would take the Webster's dictionary. If I could have 3 books, I'd have my Bible, the Webster's dictionary, and then I would have the Strong's Concordance. But I would take the Webster's over the Strong's. I would take the English definitions over the Greek and the Hebrew, what it says. And there's reasons for that. I'm not going to get into it, but I just believe it's a more reliable, more thorough work that we find. So it's not just something you'd have in a schoolroom, but a pastor, Sunday school teacher. It's a great, great Bible study tool. And so, I have 2 of them. They're wonderful tools to have. But one of the unique things about Noah Webster is that he had a desire to establish the uniqueness of an American education, that this wasn't just Europe come to a new world, but that Americans needed to be unique. They needed to have their own language. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And so this was part of his vision. His desire was to have an American dictionary of the English language. And so we talked a little bit about his career. Now, today, in the time remaining, I want to talk about his character. And I've not talked, I've just mentioned here and there some things about his character and about the man, Noah Webster. But he was born in Hartford, Connecticut, October 16th, 1758. And at that time, it was British America. You know, Connecticut was one of the colonies, not a state, like we think about the United States of America. So he was born under British rule. But he was born in the colony of Connecticut in 1758. Mr. Webster was raised in a Christian home. His father, Noah Sr., was a deacon in the Congregational Church. So he's raised in a godly family. He was related to the Pilgrims through the Bradford family, and that was on his mother's side. And that was the governor that first came, Governor William Bradford. And if you study the history of the Pilgrims, you're going to come across William Bradford. He was never shy about his political beliefs or his religious beliefs. Noah Webster was very outspoken. He said this about where he had learned his political viewpoints from, his political philosophy. He said that he had learned that in the school of Washington and of the great and worthy men who assisted in obtaining independence and in the formation and organization of the government. And so, Mr. Webster, during the time of the writing of the United States Constitution, he lived there in Philadelphia, and he was conversant with most of the founding fathers. He had visits from George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, James Madison, a number of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and also those that came to the Constitutional Convention. So he knew these men. He was a great supporter of the United States Constitution, and he said that's where he learned his political philosophy from. He was very outspoken about the genius of our republic, and he was also an opponent to those who were trying to tear it down, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. He's very outspoken concerning his political views. He was very outspoken concerning the subject of religion. Now listen what he said about religion. He said, "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed." Now that is very important. Noah Webster and our founding fathers talked about how life ought to be under a free government. Now, you go to a communist country, that's not a free government. You go to a lot of socialist countries, that's not a free government. And you look at the way we're heading in America, we're looking at where once upon a time we had freedom of speech, and now we're getting to where you just better be careful what you say about anything. Somebody will sue you. You'll get in trouble. You might offend somebody. Somebody said we lived in the United States of the offended, and it seems like we do. But in a free country, Noah Webster believed that the Christian religion was very important and one of the first things that all children ought to be taught, ought to be instructed in. He said this, he said, "No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people." You know how our Declaration of Independence talks about our rights, talks about our freedoms? Where does that come from? Noah Webster believed and taught, and he was correct, in saying that our nation's government was based upon the Christian religion. So he said, no truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. Now, when Noah Webster talks about in my view and in my mind, Noah Webster was probably one of the most intelligent, hardworking people that this country has ever produced. He learned Greek and Latin from his pastor at the age of 14. He graduated from Yale. He became a lawyer. He became a teacher in order to support his lawyer business, in order to make some extra money. He became a teacher. He wrote essays in support of the Constitution at the age of 28 years old. And some of the founders came to him and asked him to do that. And then they took his essays and they published them and spread them throughout the colonies in support of the Constitution. Because although the Constitutional Convention came together and voted on this and passed this, it had to go to all 13 colonies. And all 13 colonies had to agree to pass the United States Constitution. So it was a huge undertaking. And there was a lot of discussion back and forth. Well, Noah Webster was one of the key men that were used to support and to get a constitution passed. And he traveled. He traveled from place to place. And he made the points. This is why we need to adopt this. This is why we need to adopt this. When he was 28 years old, I mean, he had a brilliant mind. And so when I hear him where he's written in my mind or in my view, that carries a lot of weight with it to me. In his work of entomology and philology, he ultimately mastered 26 different languages. I know very few people that know more than two languages. I know a few that know three languages. He knew 26 different languages. If you look at a Webster's 1828 dictionary, and one of the things I love about it when I'm doing word studies is it gives, at the very beginning, it gives the origin of that word. Latin, Greek, Welsh, Old English. I mean, it goes into great detail. He studied and found all these things out. He just had a tremendous mind, as well as a heart and character and all of these things. And so when he says, in my view, that ought to carry some weight. We're talking about the father of American scholarship and education. This is what he thought about these things. Noah Webster believed that the role of the home, the family, was an integral part of a child's education. And so he did not set up an educational system. He did not promote an educational system that took the child out of or away from under the authority of the home. He said that's where it's got to originate from. That's where it's got to begin at. He said this about the family. He said all government originates in families, and if neglected there, it will hardly exist in society. The foundation of all free government and of all social order must be laid in families and in the discipline of youth. And so he realized the how very, very important the family was to the government, to the happiness of society. Now, when the old writers talk about the discipline of youth, they're talking that word discipline as in disciple, education, training them up, teaching them in the right ways. One of the themes that you'll find all throughout Noah Webster's writings and his life that he used and he referred to over and over again was Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so he believed in the training up, the disciplining, the education of America's youth. And he wrote many times about the youth of America and passing on to our posterity these great things. He was not only that way in tongue, he was that way in deed. He was married to a lady named Rebecca Greenleaf. And Rebecca Greenleaf Here's an example of his character. We're talking about the character of Noah Webster. Him and his wife, the first year of their marriage, they had a friendly wager that went on. And they wagered one another a flitch of bacon. Now, I had to look up what a flitch of bacon was. A flitch of bacon is country ham, a side of ham salted and cured. And so a lot of people might not know what country ham is, but if you live in the South, you know what country ham is. It's salted ham is what it is. And so they bet each other a flitch of bacon to be paid the first year of their marriage if either one of them had untoward words or quarreling. And so if they got in a fuss in that first year of their marriage, then the other one owed the other one a flitch of bacon. And Noah Webster wrote in his diary, he said, "Anniversary of our marriage, 1 year passed and no quarreling. Of course, the flitch of bacon is won." And so they went a whole year and never had any unkind words and no quarreling whatsoever. That says something of somebody's character. They had six girls. They had one son. He believed as much in the education of his daughters as he did his sons. He believed that ladies had a very, very important part in American society. And our founders overall believed that the ladies would come and stand beside their husbands and that they would help not doing the same things, but that they had a very, very important role in the formation of our country. The family was so very, very important. So we're talking about their character. We're talking about Noah Webster. If we look at him as the father of American education and scholarship, what kind of person was he? He was a religious person, spoke out very plainly about it. He was a moral person. He was a very learned individual. He had strong political feelings. He was very, very patriotic. He was a good husband. He was a good father. And he was like a lot of Americans. And I taught on this a few weeks ago. I talked about the Americanization of education. And what was a necessity in our early country was that our founders, our pioneers that came, they had to be interested in everything. And Noah Webster was interested in everything. His writings were religious, political, educational, musical, economic, commercial, medical, social, and scientific. And so we're talking about the foundations in early American education. Noah Webster, what a great, great contribution he made. And we're still reaping the results of that today. The Bible said, once again, in Psalms 11, in verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I'm here to tell you today, the foundations are not destroyed. They're still there. They're still good, but we've got to get back to them. Well, I see our time is quickly coming gone today. We do appreciate all of our listeners. We appreciate you being here, not just here, but our other listeners on the other stations as well. You can find out more information on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.